This is the Wikipedia page for freedom of thought. Welcome to WikiListen, the podcast where we read Wikipedia pages and provide commentary. I'm Victor Vernado, KSN.
And I'm Rachel Teichman, LMSW, reminding you to subscribe because you have the freedom of thought to do so.
That is right. Do what we tell you with your freedom.
Yep.
This page, I think, will be an interesting one because I don't even think that people consider that freedom of thought might be under siege. But
really?
It might be.
You don't think that like a lot of like people in the recent media storms haven't been saying this?
Oh, no. I think that some people have said it, but I also think that when it's said by somebody who's just like looks like a crazy person, it's harder to believe.
True.
Yeah. Shall we?
Let's do it.
Freedom of thought, not to be confused with free thought, cognitive liberty, or freedom of speech. This article is written like a personal reflection, personal essay, or argumentative essay that states a Wikipedia editor's personal feelings or presents an original argument about a topic. Please help improve it by rewriting it in an encyclopedic style. Freedom of thought, also called freedom of conscience, is the freedom of an individual to hold or consider a fact, viewpoint, or thought independent of others' viewpoints.
I agree. Overview. Every person attempts to have a cognitive proficiency by developing knowledge, concepts, theories, and assessing them in the given environment. This cognitive proficiency gives a sense of contentment and replaces the feeling of helplessness. Apart from bringing ease to the ego of a person, new knowledge and ideas also bring a hope for the future.
Freedom of thought is the precursor and progenitor of, and thus is closely linked to, other liberties, including freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of expression. Though freedom of thought is axiomatic for many other freedoms, they are in no way required for it to operate and exist. The conception of a freedom or a right does not guarantee its inclusion, legality, or protection via a philosophical caveat. It is a very important concept in the Western world, and nearly all democratic constitutions protect these freedoms.
For instance, the Bill of Rights contains the famous guarantee in the First Amendment that laws may not be made that interfere with religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Benjamin Cardozo reasoned in Palco versus Connecticut, 1937, "Freedom of thought is the matrix, the indispensable condition of nearly every other form of freedom. With rare aberrations, a pervasive recognition of this truth can be traced in our history, political and legal."
Such ideas are also a vital part of international human rights law. In the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR, which is legally binding on member states of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, CCPR. Freedom of thought is listed under Article 18. Quote, "Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes freedom to change his religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in community with others and in public or private to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance."
The United Nations Human Rights Committee states that this distinguishes the freedom of thought, conscience, religion, or belief from the freedom to manifest religion or belief. It does not permit any limitations whatsoever on the freedom of thought and conscience, or on the freedom to have or adopt a religion or belief of one's choice. These freedoms are protected unconditionally. Similarly, Article 19 of the UDHR guarantees that everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference. Wiki listeners, you can support us by listening to this quick message that will probably try to take away your freedom of thought.
Thanks for listening to that message, everybody. Now, let's get back to being drones. History of development and suppression. It is impossible to know with certainty what another person is thinking, making suppression difficult. The concept is developed throughout the Bible, most fully in the writings of Paul of Tarsus.
For why should my freedom, Eleutheria, be judged by another's conscience, Synaedesius?
Although Greek philosophers Plato and Socrates had discussed freedom of thought minimally, the edicts of King Ashoka, 3rd century BC, have been called the first decree respecting freedom of conscience. In European tradition, aside from the decree of religious toleration by Constantine I at Milan in 313, the philosophers Themistius, Michel de Montaigne, Baruch Spinoza, John Locke, Voltaire, Alexander Vinet, and John Stuart Mill, and the theologians Roger Williams and Samuel Rutherford have been considered major proponents of the idea of freedom of conscience or soul liberty in the words of Williams.
Queen Elizabeth I revoked a thought censorship law in the late 16th century because, according to Sir Francis Bacon, she did not like to make windows into men's souls and secret thoughts. During her reign, philosopher, mathematician, astrologer, and astronomer Giordano Bruno took refuge in England from the Italian Inquisition, where he published a number of his books regarding an infinite universe and topics banned by the Catholic Church after citation needed. Bruno was eventually burned as a heretic in Rome for refusing to recant his ideas. For this reason, he is considered by some to be a martyr for free thought.
Oliver Cromwell is described by Ignaz von Dollinger as the first among the mighty men of the world to set up one special religious principle and to enforce it so far as in him lay, the principle of liberty of conscience and the repudiation of religious coercion.
However, freedom of expression can be limited through censorship, arrests, book burning, or propaganda, and this tends to discourage freedom of thought. Examples of effective campaigns against freedom of expression are the Soviet suppression of genetics research in favor of a theory known as Lysenkoism, the book burning campaigns of Nazi Germany, the radical anti-intellectualism enforced in Cambodia under the Pol Pot and in Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler, the strict limits on freedom of expression imposed by the communist governments of the People's Republic of China and Cuba, or by dictatorships such as those of Augusto Pinochet in Chile and Francisco Franco in Spain.
The Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, which states that thought can be embedded in language, would support the claim that an effort to limit the use of words of language is actually a form of restricting freedom of thought. Citation needed. This was explored in George Orwell's novel 1984 with the idea of newspeak, a stripped-down form of the English language alleged to lack the capacity for metaphor and limiting expression of original ideas.
More recently, the development of neuroimaging technologies have raised concerns about entities becoming able to read and subsequently suppress thought, although the issue is complicated by the mind-body problem. These concerns form the emerging field of neuroethics and neuroprivacy.
Neuroprivacy.
It's all new. People are going to be able to steal your thoughts.
We'll see.
We'll see. This has been the Wikipedia page for Freedom of Thought.
Thanks for listening to WikiListen. You can find us at wikilisten.com and on all social media and on TikTok at WikiListen, except for Twitter, which is at wiki_listen. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button because it was your idea to do so in the first place.
If there's a particular Wikipedia page you'd like us to read, please let us know. We'll read it.